Hi, and welcome to Taizé tonight. Pastor Christopher is on vacation, so you get me. Let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we call upon the power of your Holy Spirit to be with us here tonight. Be with each one of us. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes to whatever it is you have for each one of us. Maybe it's special, may it be meaningful, and maybe we be willing to hear it. In Christ's name, amen. Scripture comes from Acts 2, verses 1 through 13, and this is the story of when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. So as the scripture is read tonight, imagine that you're with the disciples at Pentecost, and just allow yourself to be present with them and to experience the scripture. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." During the silence after the third reading, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention for yourself or another. You may also come to the kneeler for a prayer to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give an offering, you are welcome to do so when you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or as you exit the worship center. The third reading. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The fourth reading for tonight. When the day of Pentecost came, there were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying they had too much wine. So our reading tonight is in celebration of Pentecost. And there were three major Jewish festivals that all Jewish men that were within 20 miles of Jerusalem were required to go to. The first was Passover, then this Pentecost, and the third one being the Feast of the Tabernacles. So Pentecost means the 50th, and it's named because it fell on the 50th day after Passover, and it actually was a festival to celebrate the harvest. But for the Christian church, the day of Pentecost, it marks the day that the Holy Spirit came to the Christian church in a very special way. The disciples experienced the power of the Holy Spirit filling their beings like they hadn't before. They were, for the first time, hearing the word of God that went directly to their hearts. And from that point on, they were able to share his story and to speak to everyone. And they knew at that point the word of God was for everybody, not just the Jews. So as we decipher the pieces and parts of tonight's scripture, some of the wording stands out. Like, why tongues of fire? Right? Tongues, that's odd. Tongues represent speech and communication of the gospel, and fire symbolizes God's way of burning away the undesirable parts of us, those pieces and parts where he kind of comes in and chips away, and setting our heart on fire so that we're out there speaking on his behalf to those that we come across. And it's from his being on fire and kind of kicking us in the rear that sets us on fire. And then the fire, when it was coming down on all the believers during Pentecost, lets us know that God's presence is available to all that believe in him. The use of the violent wind and the fire and then the Holy Spirit in this passage, it shows the depths of what God will do to be part of our lives. Right? And I know a lot of us would like to have those can't-miss obvious signs like roaring wind and fire, but sometimes, a lot of times, God speaks in these little tiny whispers So if we're not quiet in moments like tonight, we're going to miss those times, and we're going to miss those messages he wants to give us. We have to have patience and listen. The many nations, when we're hearing about that in the scripture, Pentecost Festival was one of the most visited. It would be like a Blossom concert of the biggest proportion. It was the main visited festival of the three. And people came from all these different nations, and they were represented here. And as the people gathered, right, they became aware that something supernatural happened in this moment, and they wanted to know what in the world was happening. They suddenly came to life. They knew something was different, and they knew whatever that was good. And that's when Peter, in the scripture that follows this, is when he delivered the message. And in that message, he was delivering the gospel of salvation. And the beauty of so many nations being presented here and represented at this Pentecost festival is that they went back to their home nations, taking the word of God, and that's how the church was able to get so diverse and spread so quickly, is because this moment of Pentecost and the type of people that were there. So just as the Pentecost experience, it filled those that were present with the Holy Spirit, it changed their lives forever, so should our lives be a reflection of God and his presence in us. And as we live our lives in such a way that they see Christ in us, in our everyday being, all of a sudden people want to know what it is that we've got going on. Why is it that we act and are the way we are? It's very attractive, and it's different from what they experience. And then all of a sudden, they start to come to you, and they want to say, hey, what's different about you? And it gives us the opportunity to explain the impact that God has had on our lives. We get to share the good news, but the best part is we get to share it with our own story, right? And we get to make it personal. It doesn't become evangelism where you're thumping a Bible on the corner downtown. It's your story shared because someone sees something different in your life. So this path of living with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, it isn't always an easy one. As we all know, that transformation of our willing hearts into God's plan for our lives, it's paved with a whole bunch of twists and turns. And God has a way of taking us to some places that we just don't necessarily want to choose to go. And it's not always comfortable, and it's often filled with a lot of challenges, and it's also filled with the most gigantuan, awesome blessings that you'll ever have in your whole life. In the following Pentecost blessing, it's a poem that was written by someone named Jan Richardson, and she captures what it means to allow God to bring his fiery, purifying presence into our lives, to open us to the possibilities and to the importance of community in the process. And it's called This Grace That Scorches Us, a Blessing for Pentecost Day. Here's one thing you must understand about this blessing. It is not for you alone. It is stubborn about this. Do not even try to lay hold of it if you are by yourself thinking you can carry it on your own. To bear this blessing, you must first take yourself to a place where everyone does not look like you or think like you, a place where they do not believe precisely as you believe, where their thoughts and ideas and gestures are exact, not necessarily exact echoes of your own. Bring your sorrow, bring your grief, bring your fear, bring your weariness, your pain, your disgust at how broken the world is and how fractured, how fragmented by its fighting, its wars, its hungers, its penchant for power, its ceaseless repetition of the history it refuses to rise above. I will not tell you this blessing will fix all that, but in the place where you have gathered, wait, watch, listen. Lay aside your inability to be surprised, your resistance to what you don't understand. See then whether this blessing turns to flame on your tongue, sets you to speaking what you cannot fathom, or opens your ear to a language beyond your imagining that comes as a knowing in your bones, a clarity in your heart that tells you this is the reason we were made, for this ache that finally opens us, for this struggle, this grace, that scorches us toward one another and into this blazing day. Okay, so I just thought that was the absolute coolest blessing and prayer that I even happened to come across yesterday. By accident, I tell you, but it wasn't. So as I read this poem, I couldn't help but think how resistant we can sometimes be to reflecting Christ-like character and how we show up in our world. What a difference it would make if we instead focused on the impact we could make in our world if only we focused on the ripple effect. So what is your ripple effect? So we are called to reflect Christ's love to those that we encounter. When we do that, we're like a pebble dropping in water that generates waves of ripples that flow out to others. Each one of us has the opportunity to spread ripples of joy, acceptance, peace, love, generosity, forgiveness, kindness, faith, and goodness. One moment. Could y'all please go grab Dave? And while it's definitely easier to have this kind of positive ripple effect with those we get along with, that's pretty easy, right? Those that agree with us, they think like us, believe like us, pretty much go along with whatever we say. Being filled with the Holy Spirit guides our heart and our mind and our actions to go beyond the easy and to extend our ripple effect to all. To live in community together with our differences, to be love where being love is difficult and seemingly impossible, to reach out in service to the least of us. When we do this, when we practice the ripple effect, the most amazing experiences unfold us. Our hearts, they expand more and more, and this love just overfills. It just fills our heart. It goes deeper and deeper within us and overflows out of the top of it. It's as if more pebbles are dropping into the water, and their ripples form this beautiful array of circles, and they flow into each other, and there's just more circles and more circles that come together. We become what we are. So if I am joy, I become joy-filled. And if I am peace, I become peace-filled. And if I'm forgiving, I become forgivable. And it starts with each one of us. So as we close tonight, it's like, what kind of ripple effects are you willing to make? What is God asking you to do in areas where maybe your ripple has faded a little bit? What challenges face you to engage your best ripple self? And what's holding you back? How can my ripple and your ripple and the ripple of the person that's next to you and next to you and next to you, how can they blend together to form a community and to make our world a better place? So tonight, as we come to communion, you'll see pebbles on the table up here. I'd like you to just take some pebbles, as many as you'd like. Keep at least one as a reminder of how important we can be, each one of us, to changing the world around us, one ripple at a time. And then as you're willing, drop a pebble into the water to signify your hope and your desire for God's continued transformation of your life.
Good evening. This is like a drive-by communion here.
It is.
Becky gave me a snapshot of her message beforehand, and what a powerful image to think of the early church as these ripples, these concentric things that went out into the world and shaped it and created this powerful sense of God's love and movement in the world. And sometimes I think we undervalue that God wants to use us in these ways. But if it doesn't become about us and it becomes about Christ, it happens sometimes when we don't even know it. I even think when we go away to Royal Family Kids Camp, one of the mottos to work with foster kids is that it can be the best week of your life if you leave yourself at home and you're just present there without your ego intact and without worrying about how you look or how you come across. And the people that have affected my life the most deeply, I think they didn't try that hard. They didn't even know they were doing it when they did it. They were just in that space with Christ, kind of moving with those ripples and flowing. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he tore it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took a cup. He said, "This would be the cup of the remission of sin, the cup that would free you to not only be a ripple, but to know more deeply the waves and rhythms of God's love for you. Not a cup of more rules and more religious hoops, but one of this intimate relationship of love with Christ who has come for you." Pray with me, please. Over these simple elements of bread and cup, God, we welcome your Holy Spirit now to make them be for us the very body and blood of Christ, that we would be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by your blood. Make us one with Christ in loving unity. Make us one with each other, believing, trusting, and something more than just a cute metaphor of the body of Christ, but a real body of love. Make us one for all the world until they know and respond through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." A reminder as you're invited to communion, if you're not a member of our church or any church, that Christ welcomes you here to his table, that any person who longs for the redemption, for the love, the forgiveness, a relationship with Christ is welcome at the table. You simply put your hands out because grace is not grabbed at but received, and bread will be taken and handed to you, and you simply receive it. You can respond with the words, "Thanks be to God," "Amen," "Silence," whatever is of meaning to you. And then a cup will be offered, and you'll dip the bread into the cup. We call it intinction. You'll hear the words, "The blood of Christ," and any words, again, that you feel are appropriate in your own heart to offer or silence, whatever. So now, as those who come to serve you, come on up. And then any who are hungry. I'm actually going right back to do another.
Lisa, would you like to help?
Yeah, Lisa.
Bruce, would you serve with me? Thank you, Dave.
You bet. Sorry to be running in and out. Thank you, Bruce. Bless you all.
as we go out into our world tonight and going forward, I pray that each one of you can find that person or persons, whether they're someone you know, someone you just crossed paths with, that is in need of your best ripple. And I just pray that you're able to bless them in ways beyond your imagination. Amen.